Liberty, Spokane Valley, Washington. Our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as Scripture admonishes us, prepare your horse for battle. But the battle is the Lord's. And this really definitely is the year for battle. And now from the front, your weekly intelligence briefing. Well, on the international front, chaos around the world. Pakistan in crisis. Looks like that government might fall as protests there get larger and larger. My goodness, one more country in the Middle East falling to potential terrorist elements. Well, not to be outdone, our policy in Ukraine continues to fail as the Russians continue to move troops into eastern Ukraine. And look, the reality is they've been there for a long while. Spetsnaz has been operating in eastern Ukraine for a long time, and that's really who's been behind a lot of what's happening over there. This idea of pro-Russian separatists really is not accurate, but there are some pro-Russian separatists there, so we have to acknowledge that as well. But the bottom line is, where does this all stop? Where does it all end? Well, definitely not in the Middle East, as that continues to plunge into chaos, as ISIS continues not only to grow in the Middle East, but also now is threatening our homeland, which I'll get here in a second. On our southern border, that's how they're coming through. But also, last night, there was an announcement that there was a major U.S. strike in Somalia, so now we're also in the Horn of Africa. Boy, this is, it's incredible. You can't even keep up with the news that's going on around the world, and that strike was allegedly against the leader of Al-Shabaab, which is a Al-Qaeda-linked terrorist group in Somalia right now, and we have that going on, but we also have, in the international news going on right now, we have a general sense that Russia and China are moving away from the dollar as fast as they possibly can, inking a deal, but also implementing that deal on trading not just oil, but goods, and not using U.S. dollars. The more that that continues, the more that that is going to place us in a very tenuous situation here in the United States, which hopefully we'll talk about a little bit on the show today and how you can be prepared to mitigate that. On the national front, well, there was an imminent terrorist attack warning issued on Friday. The base commander at Fort Bliss was briefed on the terrorist threat, and, well, it's ISIS coming through our southern border. So whoever continues to defend our policy on the southern border clearly now is supporting a threat to our direct security here in the United States. But even more absurd than our southern border policy was the proclamation issued on Friday by President Obama. He's now a prepper. He says, get prepared. Prepare for an upcoming crisis. Well, most of us have seen your entire administration as a crisis and a disaster to prepare for. So most of us are already prepared, but it was incredible that he finally came out and said that. And now, by the way, anybody who says, oh, these preppers are all crazy weirdos, you know, well, we're just following the lead of our president. On the Olympia front, well, the CDC wants to give a grant to Washington State, and Washington State wants to accept it to, once again, as I've told on the show before, implement the National Violent Death Reporting System. Well, why is that important? It's important because, according to the Second Amendment Foundation, that National Violent Death Reporting System is going to treat suicides like homicides. Why does that matter? Because they're going to use it to pad the numbers, so that they have an argument for gun control, especially this fall in November, when we have two competing gun control initiatives on the ballot. And by the way, just for those who like Microsoft, Bill Gates gave $1 million to that effort for gun control. On the local front, well, once again, true principle conservatives are under attack all over the country, but they're also under attack here locally in Eastern Washington and in Spokane Valley. Go to my website, click on Solutions, and click on Matt's Take. Remember, no fake conservatives. That's where I'm going to be posting my election recommendations. Take a look at that, share it with your friends and family. And that this morning is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. And I want to say a very special thank you to all you listeners out there, especially those of you, and you know who you are, who have come up to me and said, thank you, Matt. We've listened to your show. We listened to it in various parts of Eastern Washington and even North Idaho. And I want to thank you for the encouragement. It sometimes gets a little people get a little weary, me, myself included, and I want to thank you for that. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to Victoria as well. Well, freedom-loving Americans, one of the best in this entire country, but specifically from, he's homegrown here in Washington State. He is an Olympia insider and the author of 299 Days, the series. Glenn Tate, thanks for joining me once again on Battlefront this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me. Love coming on.
Well, so Glenn, what do you take about Obama being a prepper all of a sudden?
I was trying not to laugh when you were doing your monologue. Mrs. Rich, think about this. On Friday, we simultaneously have two announcements. Number one, the president saying be prepared for anything that could happen. There could be some civil unrest. I think civil unrest was something I'm sort of adding to that. I don't want to imply the president was warning of civil unrest, but it was in the mix of possible scenarios to be prepared for. So we've got the president who goes from basically implying that preppers are crazy militia wackos to now saying people need to be prepared. So that's Friday. Simultaneously, we have a Border Patrol intelligence alert, and this is for real. I saw it. It was on the internet for real, so this isn't made up, saying that it appears that ISIS is working with the cartels in Juarez and other places and might breach the southern border, come into the United States, blow some stuff up, kill some people, and try to spark off other terrorist events. So Mr. President, we need to be prepared now on Friday, I guess. You know, that's when we need to start being prepared. And, oh, by the way, this amazingly wonderful immigration policy of the president is now producing official Border Patrol warnings of a southern invasion. And these ISIS folks, as your listeners know, these aren't the Boy Scouts. They do horrific, horrible things, and they are apparently coming up through the southern border. I wonder how they're getting through that border that's non-existent. So anyway, I just find it hypocritical, actually funny. I know I shouldn't laugh at such things, but I'm actually laughing because I try not to say this, Matt, but this is the biggest, fattest I told you so we could possibly have. I hope nothing bad happens. I hope ISIS doesn't come through, you know, the southern border. But my goodness gracious, it's like you can't script this stuff. I'm a fiction writer. I couldn't make this up. This is amazing.
It is absolutely amazing. The fact you would say prepare for a crisis that you made, Mr. President, that's just incredible to me. That is just absolutely incredible. So we do need to continue to prepare for disasters or any sort of crisis that might come down the pike because, I mean, look what's happened just this year in Washington State. We had the Oso mudslide. We had this massive wildfire in the center of Washington State. And then, oh, by the way, which didn't get really reported, we had mudslides as a result of that wildfire in central Washington. And the people that were prepared, you know what? They don't regret that at all, do they?
No, not at all. And there were some really nasty thunderstorms a couple weeks ago in your area, too, that knocked out power and did some bad things. And there was isolated looting because of that and because of the wildfires. I understand that in Okanagan County in particular, the semi-official Aries and Racy's ham, you know, radio networks that the government sort of supports failed. So, yeah, no, we're seeing real live reasons in your own area, looking out your window, that would make it so that people need to be prepared for these sorts of things.
Well, it's interesting, too, that the Amron network actually picked up. So these are, and for those of you that don't know, this radio network of, they're just pure civilian volunteers throughout all of Northwest Washington and Northeast Washington and North Idaho and Montana. And actually, it stretches even beyond that. They actually picked up the ball and helped during that entire crisis. But it was not the government. It was self-reliant, freedom-loving Americans who actually did that.
And that's a harbinger of things to come. We're going to see that on a gigantic scale.
Well, let's talk about where you think the country's headed right now. Let's try to ignore the southern border for a second and this terrorist alert that... And by the way, did you hear Lieutenant General McInerney on Fox News say that we needed to be at DEFCON 1? My goodness, that is a stunning announcement from a retired lieutenant general to say something like that.
Yeah, I did see that, and that was indeed stunning. And I don't obviously know General McInerney, but people like him Their credibility is very, very important, and they, I don't think, go on TV and say wild, reckless things. They don't cry wolf. And so I'm going to presume, and this is pure speculation, he knows some things. Some of his friends in that community perhaps have told him some things. We've seen a really big uptick in radio chatter and all kinds of web traffic from the terrorists. It used to be Al-Qaeda, and now it looks like ISIS wants to be the big boys on the block. And if I had to guess, again, pure speculation, I would think, politically speaking, Al-Qaeda would want to pull something off, some big spectacular thing to remain relevant. They don't want to be outdone by ISIS. I know this sounds crazy, but this is how basically gangs and terrorist groups think. So there could be something coming from that. Yeah, DEFCON 1 is some pretty serious talk, and I paid attention to that.
So did I. I mean, for the listeners that don't understand what DEFCON 1 means, it means not only are we supposed to be prepared for an imminent attack, but we're supposed to be prepared for all imminent attacks or all types of imminent attack, including a nuclear strike on U.S. soil. I mean, it's the most serious readiness condition we can have for our military in this country. So, just a very stunning announcement, and I think underscores the seriousness of that terror threat alert that came out on Friday. So getting back to what we were talking about, let's ignore the southern border for just a second. Let's ignore the Middle East and the Horn of Africa and Ukraine for just a second. Quite a long list, exactly. Where do you think the country's headed? I mean, we have a lot of talk internally about some issues with the economy still. Where do you think the country's headed? What are your folks telling you?
Well, the domestic economy continues to go down and down and down. Even the official government numbers are not looking good. There was a spike in gross domestic product numbers. I don't believe any of those anymore. Anecdotal things I'm seeing. Just yesterday, as a matter of fact, I was at a strip mall in Olympia that used to be full of tenants, and now it's not. The Ford lease signs and all the empty buildings. So there's, I think, a lot of weakness in the domestic economy. If I owned a business, I would not at all invest in people or in anything else right now. It would be crazy. Perhaps people are waiting to see how the 2014 congressional elections go. I think that our woes in this country economically are much deeper than whichever party is running whichever House of Congress. And then, of course, the state elections are very important. If I may diverge for just a moment, those two gun measures on the November ballot are extremely important in our state. But anyway, the other thing, and you've hit on it in your monologue, that I think is really critical, and quite honestly, I get this weird feeling sometimes. I don't know if I'm in the present or the future, because I wrote a bunch of things, and quite honestly, many of which have come true. A few years ago, I wrote about them, and then I start seeing them play out, and it's a weird twilight experience. And I'm having that weird twilight experience when it comes to the Russia-Chinese deals, where they're trading in rubles and yuan and their own currencies instead of the dollars. And it's important for people to understand one of the reasons, probably the only reason, the U.S. dollar has any value, because with all the debt we have, it shouldn't be as valuable as it is. The reason it's so valuable is virtually everyone in the world, when they buy and sell things internationally, like, say, oil or weapons or wheat or, you know, all the Chinese consumer products we get, it's paid for in dollars, and the transaction is done in dollars. So if you want to buy and sell internationally, you need to have U.S. dollars on hand, which creates artificially high demand for U.S. dollars. If you had to pay for everything with, you know, oranges would become very, very valuable, for example. So that's the reason U.S. dollars are so valuable. Now, if the world is not trading in dollars, and, for example, they're trading in rubles or yuan, it means that the value of the U.S. dollar goes way, way down. And these things don't go down. These values don't go down, you know, slowly, usually. In a matter of days or weeks, they plummet. And then when dollars are worth half as much as they are, that's being generous. Now gasoline that we have to get from overseas because we decided not to have a domestic energy production, even though we have plenty of energy in this country, gasoline is now twice as much. What's that, $8 a gallon roughly? Oh, my goodness, what does $8 a gallon gas do to everybody listening? So this is why it's really important. And we saw the framework for this a few months ago, where China and Russia say we're about to, or we're thinking about not using the dollar and using our own currencies. It's obvious why Russia and China would want to basically implode the United States and make our dollar valueless. valueless. So anyway, they said they were going to do it, and now they're actually doing it. They're actually trading in these currencies. It's scary. The yuan, the Chinese currency, a few months ago was the ninth most commonly used currency for international trade. Now it's second. It went up seven places in 6 months. So this is not anybody's theory. These are cold, hard facts. And I don't know how quickly it would happen, but once the world figures out that the dollar is really going to go the way of the British pound, which used to be the international currency that was used for all transactions, look what happened to Britain after the pound no longer was the world's currency. So we're in for a world of hurt when gasoline is multiples of what it costs now. That alone, you know, fries the whole transportation system. Everything costs more. And, you know, the oranges I was talking about, my goodness, probably come from Southern California or something like that. That's what, 1,000, 1,500 miles for us up here. So think of all the gas that's involved in just having an orange. So that's why this is a big deal. That's what I'm really looking at, is the death of the dollar. And people need to understand exactly how it's going to affect them, because it's going to.
It is going to. In fact, it already is with grocery prices, and not just oranges, but grocery prices. Just compare what you spent at the grocery store this year with last year, and it's gone up, at least for our family. It's almost doubled the amount of money we're spending on groceries, and it's not just because I eat a lot.
No, absolutely. We're seeing it. My jaw dropped. I went to Costco and looked at some steaks for Labor Day, and I said, it's going to be hamburger this Labor Day. I mean, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I think people really need to take a look at that and understand that it's better to have more food stored up now than it is later, for regardless of the eventuality, but it just is smart to do that. And 20 years ago, and I've said this before on the show, it was nothing to walk into my grandma's pantry and see it stocked full of food, because she went through the Great Depression, and she wanted not only to have enough food for her family, but also for her friends and her neighbors. And it was just something that was a given back then, and it should be a given again, I think. Let's talk about your book, Restoration, Book 9 of the 299 Days series. Once again, I'm with Glenn Tate. This is Matt Shea on Battlefront. And we really need to start using this term, restoration. I'm glad you chose it as the title for Book 9, because it really is not only solution-oriented, but it really kind of encapsulates what we're really about. It's better than the term rebuilding, but it's restoration. That's what we're really all about. For this country, getting back to what the American ideal is, getting back to being self-reliant, getting back to being freedom-loving, getting back to be God-fearing. What do you think about that, Glenn? And also, tell listeners a little bit about the book as well.
Yeah, you've given a perfect summary of why the word restoration is the better word when it comes to describing the after-effects. Originally, I used the word rebuilding, but that, you know, you rebuild a house or you rebuild a wall or you rebuild, I don't know, something that's broken, and you kind of turn it back into what it used to be. You restore it to the way it was. I'm not really interested in restoring America to the way it is. It can be better. It has been better. I've seen it in my own lifetime. I've seen it better. The theme and the phrase and the slogan, "I miss America," is woven throughout the 299 Days book series. It's become a big hit. I mean, we have T-shirts, we have stickers, we have patches and that sort of thing. People love that concept of "I miss America" because it says it all. I mean, we miss America, we want it back. And restoration is the word that the best captures, after we get America back, how we're going to put it back together into the way it used to be, the better way. So the restoration was picked with specificity. Book 9 is, in one sense, the wrap-up of the 10-book series, but in another sense, it's not. In the sense of being a wrap-up, it takes you through chronologically from the start of, there's no other word for it, war. Good guys and bad guys fight it out. There's a battle in Olympia. And the good guys, I'm just going to give it away, they win, okay, but because I think good guys will prevail. And so you've got that. I think it's probably one of the more action-packed books. A lot of the reviews and a lot of my friends who have read it have told me that it's their favorite of the entire series. It ties so many things together. The first 8 books lay a pretty amazing foundation for what happens in Book 9, and then you can see things, little snippets that were mentioned in Book 1, for example, maybe about my childhood or something like that. You say, Oh, now I understand why that was important. So it's a lot of aha moments in book 9. And that came out a few weeks ago. And then book 10, in another sense, is the wrap-up. Book 10 will be coming out on October 26th, which is the 299th day of the year. Isn't that cool? And it ties things together. It's 43 kernels, and it's 43 chapters. Each chapter is about a person who contributed a lot in the to helping people during the collapse, or in, I don't know, the war part of it, or in the restoration. And you're going to see 43 different examples of completely different people, every walk of life, every possible kind of person who did some things that seem kind of small, but they're actually really important. And it goes from homeschooling to money laundering to military things, to opening a hospital, to smuggling things that needed to, you know, good things, not bad things. Now smugglers, you know, traffic in bad things, but when it's medicine and things like that, you know, that's a good thing. So anyway, it goes through all that, and it gives, without even knowing that you're getting a manual on how to restore the country, you're reading these 43 interesting stories about these 43 interesting people, and by the time you're done with it, you've got a really good comprehensive view of what it's going to take to restore the country. So very happy about that.
Well, I want to touch on one thing that's just near and dear to my heart. So what happens to Rick Menlo? Okay. You know, Rick Menlo is the archetype of a politician who just wants to get reelected, doesn't care about the people's milquetoast and squishy and compromising. What happens to Rick Menlo? And without, I mean, I don't want to spoil the book, but please tell me what happens to him.
He has a horrible fate ahead of him, and he has to preside as the governor of Old Washington. The good guys create something called New Washington. The flag's really cool. It's got an evergreen tree with a "Don't Tread on Me" snake on it. Governor Menlo has to preside over basically what's left of Old Washington, which is Seattle, which is a rotting, decaying, gang-infested, horribly corrupt place with tons of inequity, really rich people and really poor people, which is how socialist countries end up. Look at Venezuela. That's all you need to know as far as the model of what Seattle looks like. So I think that's a fate worse than death. And so I wanted Governor Menlo to have a very awful, awful job. And so anyway, that's what happens with him.
The horror of governing Seattle, fate worse than death. Oh, I love that. So you're also coming out with some audiobooks as well. I know you mentioned those real briefly. Tell the listeners a little bit about that.
Oh, this is huge. The audiobooks are available for pre-sale now. Audible, which is the Netflix, really the Amazon of audiobooks, has really backed this series. All 10 books will be released on October 26th. And so we're very excited. The Audible fall preview sort of staff picks newsletter they sent out to the over a million subscribers they have featured the 299-day series, and the Audible people are very, very excited. They think it's really, really good. I've been listening to the proof copies of the audiobook. We have an extremely good narrator, a New York Times best-selling narrator, Kevin Pierce, who's done a mind-blowingly good job, and I think the audiobooks will be much bigger than the paper and Kindle books, and we're going to get this message of rational prepping into a much bigger audience. There are a lot of people out there that listen to audiobooks that maybe their hobby is bird watching or something, you know, completely, I don't know, different than prepping. They might just want a good audiobook, and they're going to listen to this audiobook series and say, hey, this Glenn Tate guy is not crazy. What he's saying makes a lot of sense. Why don't I have a bunch of food on hand? And so I think we're going to reach a lot of what we currently maybe call sheeple. We're going to reach him with a prepping message because of the audiobook. So once again, glory to God, he's running this. I'm just this regular guy who sat down at a keyboard, and all these amazing things have happened to get this message out. I take no credit whatsoever, and that's why I think God can use me, because I'm humble and I'm not taking any credit. Nobody knows who Glenn Tate really is. That's a pen name. So if any glory, earthly glory is out there, it's going to a made-up fake guy named Glenn Tate and not the real me, which is fine with me.
Perfect. That's what I love about you, your humility. I don't want you to boast in your humility now, but your humility is just incredible. I think you've done a great job laying this out and doing it in a reasonable way. if you could take a few seconds and plug your website where people can go check out your books, check out more on you, and also on Facebook as well.
You bet. 299days.com. The numbers, 299days.com. We'll have everything. The Facebook page is a great way to keep up on things. We have a lot of really engaged readers who send in pictures and all kinds of neat stuff, funny stuff too. And that's 299days, parentheses, the book on Facebook. Those are the best ways to get a hold of us. I'd love to hear from everybody.
All right. So one thing people should do right now, they're listening like, boy, I am way behind. I'm not prepared. And they're kind of freaking out a little bit, maybe listening to the show right now. What's one thing they could do to get started and really be prepared for any sort of a crisis or disaster, and become self-reliant again?
Water. Store some water. Have some water treatment, purification pills, tablets, those sorts of things are available at camping stores. Water, 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 water. That's a great thing to start with. And if I had to narrow it down to one thing, it's water. You can only go a couple days without water, and you can go a couple weeks without food. So keep that in mind.
Amen to that. Glenn, thanks again for being on Battlefront this morning. We'll have you on again when Book 10 comes out. Keep up the great work. And once again, if anybody out there is listening, check out his website and check out his books. Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you, sir.
So remember, all of this means that we defend freedom locally, that we cannot love our neighbor if government's doing it for us. It's up to us to be God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving Americans. It's up to us to take care of our friends and our neighbors and our communities. It's not up to the federal government. We regain just that one principle. It'll be amazing how quick this country turns around again, because it'll be God-centered and it'll be centered on others as well instead of ourselves. Remember to pray for a revival of repentance. We still live in the greatest country in the world despite the internal evil we're facing. Visit Freedom Agenda Washington on Facebook, like the page, and help us defend freedom locally. This is Matt Shea. May God bless all of you, and may He make this generation the greatest one.